when Jamie went to school at ACU in the musical thing, the Follies or whatever they called it, she said that they were having this big dance scene, but they called it choreography. And so that allowed them. So Daryl and I did our feeble attempt at choreography, and don't want to have the building struck by lightning or anything. I remember when I was in sixth grade at Jones Elementary School in Greencastle, Indiana, and for gym class, they wanted us to do square dancing. You know, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. And it was fun until I told my mother that I was doing square dancing at school. And she had a fit because Church of Christ kids don't dance, which was obvious if you saw me dance. So she called the school, every kid's nightmare. She called the school to explain why her son could not participate in that. Well, I had to go to gym class. I had to do that. I could not. So they decided that I would be the one who worked the record player. And so I was the one who, this is back when they used record players, I would take the needle and put it on the record and play the song, and then when they were done, I would take it off. I didn't see the difference. In my mind, I was aiding and abetting. I felt like I was contributing to that, but it was okay with my mother. And I laugh about it now, but I think how silly we make some things. But anyway, and Daryl reminded me of that. Last week, I started looking at Hebrews 11, talking about faith and what it takes to do what we do, to think about life, to think about tomorrow, to think about the next step and how we want to approach that. And just looking at Hebrews 11, I've been focusing on that for the last few weeks. And I want to talk about Abel this morning. In Hebrews 11, he's the first one they talk about, by faith Abel. It's interesting to me because there is no record in the Bible anywhere of anything that Abel ever said. There's not a single word recorded. No conversations, no, just nothing there about that. And yet the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 11 verse 4 that Abel still speaks to us even though he's dead. And first thought, well, he never spoke at all. So still speaking doesn't seem the right terminology there, but yet Abel still speaks to us even though he's dead. What we do have recorded, however, is what Abel did. He made a sacrifice to God. And so in this lesson, I want to look at that sacrifice and see why it was better, as the scripture says. Why it was better than the one Cain offered. And because it was better, God commended him and declared him to be a righteous man. I think everyone in this room this morning wants to be declared righteous. We all want that. We all want God to look down on us and say, that's a righteous person. There is a righteous individual. And so the reward that he got was what we want. So I think that it's important for us to look and see what Abel did that was different than what Cain did, to see why he got the commendation that Abel did, or that Cain didn't. We know that his righteousness was preceded by his faith. And as I mentioned last week, I want to look at some of these examples of faith in Hebrews 11 to see how we can enhance our own faith journey. So looking through this, the text tells us that it takes faith to make a right sacrifice. And thought may go to, we don't do sacrifices anymore. That's not true. We do offer sacrifices to God. So as we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 4, by faith Abel. So from the beginning of this verse, you see the standard, you see the foundation, the posture from which Abel did anything. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, though through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. The Hebrew writer highlights the fact that Abel's sacrifice was better than Cain's. God commended Abel, told him he was a righteous man. As I said a minute ago, his righteousness was preceded by his faith. It was important that his faith is what established him in order to live a righteous life. And so we also see that the sacrifice that he made was out of faith. By faith, Abel offered. And that's where this sacrifice came from. Cain's did not. We don't read that about Cain's sacrifice or the one that he made. So what happened? How did this story play out? So notice again what Scott read earlier, beginning in Genesis 4, verse 1. We're going to look at a good part of Genesis chapter 4 to see how, or see what we can glean from that. Now, the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, there are some who claim that Cain and Abel were twins because of this verse and the verbiage in this verse. It says that she had relations with her husband, and she conceived, and then she had Cain, and then she had Abel, and the thought is that they were twins. Doesn't make a bit of difference. But if you ever read that, that's why. Or if you come across that, that's the thinking behind that. She gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the first fruits of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became angry, very angry, and his countenance fell. Cain made a sacrifice. He brought a sacrifice to the Lord. However, there's a but in there, in that story. Cain made a sacrifice to the Lord, but Abel made a better sacrifice to the Lord. And so there had to be some instruction. We're not told, but there had to be some instruction as to what it meant to offer a proper sacrifice, the frame of mind, the procedures. Read the book of Leviticus, and you're going to find that there were a ton of procedures to offer sacrifices and how they were to be given, and wave this here and heave that there and do all these things and sprinkle the blood here and eat this portion and don't eat that portion and give this away and burn that up and don't burn this, and on and on and on. I had to memorize every stage of every sacrifice in the book of Leviticus. I don't remember them except the abbreviation that I just gave you. But they were very important to God. And so understanding what God wanted, understanding what God intended, understanding the purpose for each part of that, when I look at Cain and Abel, Cain brought a sacrifice, but Abel did it right. Evidently, Cain didn't. There had to be some instruction there. And the first thing there about what we read in the text in Genesis chapter 4 is that Abel's sacrifice included some descriptive things. It said that he brought fat portions, that he brought the first fruits. You don't see that in Cain's description of his sacrifice. He just brought a sacrifice to the Lord. And so that indicates to me that Abel brought the best that he had to offer and Cain didn't. That's important. When we're sacrificing to God, when we're bringing to God of what we have, our best needs to be what we bring. People will be tempted to hold back on God. People have always been that way, like Cain did. They want to hold back. Abel's faith caused him to think more about his God than he did his goods. He thought more about the God that he was offering a sacrifice to, the God that he worshiped, the God that his faith was based in. Cain brought a sacrifice of fruits, but they weren't the first fruits, evidently. I think we would have been told if they were, but he didn't bring that. And there's the difference. There's a big difference in that. And you may think, well, you know, he brought fruits, but it's not the first fruits. Abel brought the first fruits of his flocks to the one who was the first one in his life. And we see that correlation. There's not a whole lot talks about Abel in the scriptures, and yet the Hebrew writer includes him in this honor roll of faith. So I think it's important for us to continue to look at some of these stories. Cain brought secondhand fruits to the one who came in second in his life. Now you can guess who was first in Cain's life. It wasn't God. So he didn't bring the best for God. Abel did what was honorable. Abel did what he was supposed to do. Cain didn't. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. God comes first. Abel understood that. Abel demonstrated that. Cain did not. Abel did what was honorable, bringing the best of what he had to the Lord. To honor is to respect. To honor is to admire. To honor is to obey. Faith enables us to respect, to admire, and to obey and honor God. You read in Malachi chapter 3 when God told his people if they were robbing him, he said, what you need to do is bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. God said they were robbing him because they were bringing some of it, but they weren't bringing all of it. You can go back and read Malachi chapter 3. It just wasn't acceptable to God what they were doing. So what we learn is that it's not enough to just bring a sacrifice. It needs to be the right sacrifice. It needs to be a sacrifice that's driven by faith. It needs to be a sacrifice that comes from a posture of faith before God. Faith is what allows us to offer the best of what we have. Faith is what allows us and enables us to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. It also takes a right heart to make a right sacrifice. And I think there's a difference in Abel's heart and Cain's heart in this process. Making the right sacrifice isn't just about material goods. It's not just about gathering stuff. It's not just about, here, take this. I remember one time, church I was attending was raising or bringing, they put out an appeal for food to come into the food pantry, that they were getting low and they wanted everyone to go out. And so preacher got up and talked about that for just a minute before his lesson, and he said everyone has stuff in their pantry that they won't eat, so bring it in. And for some reason that just hit me wrong. If I won't eat it, why should I expect anyone else to? If I have a pantry full of stuff that I don't want and I bring that in, I think if God were writing that up, he would say, but Bob didn't bring the right sacrifice. And it's bothered me. I think that everyone deserves the best that we have, starting with God, from what we can offer and what we can help. It isn't just about money. It isn't just about material things. It's talking about giving of ourselves first. And Paul says this, Romans 12:1, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. It's a responsibility to give yourselves first. And if you do that, then anything you bring after that will be the best that you have. Abel committed his spiritual act of worship. Abel gave the sacrifice that was holy. He gave the sacrifice that was pleasing to God. You notice Deuteronomy chapter 6, passage that we see repeated many times and in the New Testament even, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Jesus said, all the other commandments rest on these things. You love God, you love people, and you give them the best that you have. Everything else rests there. If we understand that, you don't need a commandment, do not kill. Because if you love God and you love people, you're not going to do that. All the things, don't steal. You're not going to do those things if you love God and you love people. And so it's talking about who we are as an individual before God. We don't just give God some of us, we give God all of us. Another possibility that might be in play here is that Cain's sacrifice was rejected for what it was, not only for what it was, I should say, but because of Cain's heart when he offered it. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians, Paul said it in 2 Corinthians. I'll read it because it's missing here, but it ain't missing here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely, that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up. Is that what I want? No. Let's look at verse 7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That was Paul's take on it. So I guess the question is the love of the Lord there? Is the faith and trust in the Lord there? Or are folks just going through the motions of that? Cain's sacrifice was out of a sense of duty, but there wasn't any faith attached to that act. It was out of compulsion. It wasn't, there was no joy in it. He didn't do it from that place. If God is first, then we will be devoted to him first. If he's first in our lives, we will give him what's first in our lives. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but it does mean we are all in, that we're fully committed to doing what God wants us to do. It's when we try to change the rules and try to get God to compromise on his standard that's when we get in trouble. Who are we to tell God how it's going to be? Who are we to dictate to God what he should accept from us? If we're going to offer sacrifices to God, then shouldn't God be the one who determines the standard of our response to him? I think we do. And how arrogant are we to think that or conclude that God should be satisfied with whatever it is we give him? And that's the thing that bugged me when that preacher many years ago said that from the pulpit. I thought, why should people be satisfied with what I don't want? Why should people feel grateful to get what I wouldn't use? How is that helping? How is that encouraging? And what message does that give? So the thing that was missing was this willingness to honor God. Cain didn't have that. Cain was just going through the motions, trying to do what he wanted to do. There was devotion, no devotion in it. That was totally missing in the sacrifice. And the thing that was missing was his faith. You don't read about Cain in Hebrews chapter 11. He's not there because of that. He just didn't have the heart. And his attitude just got worse. It didn't get any better for Cain after this. It just kind of put him in a bad situation. He was angry, and so the Lord confronted him about it. And you read in verse 6, picking up in chapter 4, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why are you mad? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. So, Cain was upset with his brother when he should have been upset with himself. He was mad that Abel was found righteous and he wasn't. He was mad that God accepted Abel's sacrifice and didn't accept his. He was envious. Even though God made it very clear from day one, I'm not a respecter of persons. I don't give favorites. I don't play favorites. I'm as fair can be. I am as honest and truthful. I'm as honorable. I am who I am. And Cain didn't get that. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Is what the Lord's asking. If you just follow what I'm asking you to do. I think God is giving Cain maybe a chance to right the wrong. I think God's saying that, do it again. Try it again. He says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? It's like God is saying, you know what? You still have the opportunity to make a right sacrifice. And I believe that God is that kind of a God. I hope he is, because we all mess up enough that if we don't get that chance, then we're all hurting. But Cain has no one to blame but himself. He tried, he just didn't heed the warnings that God gave to him about what he needed to do. Abel got it. Abel understood it. Abel knew that he had to give the best that he had. He had to get that under control. But Cain didn't want to listen to God. And instead, he did what he'd already done before. Go with his own thinking. I'm going to go my own way. And it didn't turn out very well for him. We pick up in verse 8. Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? So, Cain's before the judge and he tries to plead not guilty. It's basically what he did. But God knows. It's interesting to me that he thinks he can lie to God and still be successful. And people have been doing it ever since. Cain made a wrong sacrifice. That's what he did. He didn't do what God asked him to do. And then he responds to that by developing bitterness and hatred towards his brother. He blames his brother for his actions. He says, if he hadn't done a better sacrifice, God might not have noticed mine. But for whatever reason, God didn't like mine and he liked Abel's, so it's Abel's fault. That was his reasoning. That was his logic. And we look at that and say, that's ridiculous, but just look at everything that's going on in the world today. It's always someone else's fault. However that could be determined. Cain makes a wrong sacrifice. And it leads to murder. And then lying about it. Sounds like every episode of Dateline I've ever seen. It's the same story every week. Just copy-paste different names into the stories. It would have been interesting to see what would have happened if Cain had confessed. What would have happened if Cain had confessed and gone to God in godly sorrow, repenting of what he had done? I know God. So I think I know how that would have turned out. But that didn't happen. Because Cain had murder in his heart. And he had murder in his heart because he had evil in his heart. And John says in 1 John 3, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. That's it. That's what happened. And because of that, God rendered his judgment and enacts his consequences on Cain. We pick up in verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" He said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." Isn't it interesting? You know, God meets Adam and Eve in the garden after they've sinned. He says, "What have you done?" He always gives the chance to tell the truth. It's like, "I know what you've done, but let me help you out here. Let me try to put us in a situation. Let's get the conversation going to not focus on what happened, but how can I do better, or how can I repent of that?" And so he says, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on earth." I think the lesson is, if you don't give God what's due him, you're going to pay for it. And Cain was to be this restless wanderer the rest of his life, never settled anywhere. Have you ever felt unsettled? Don't you just love it? It's just unsettled. When things aren't going well, when things are unsettled, we don't like that. And that was Cain's life from that point forward. When folks don't listen to God and sacrifice their will for God's will, they will be spiritually restless. They will be spiritually unsettled. Making a wrong sacrifice has its consequences, but also a faith sacrifice. That was the bad side. A faith sacrifice is honored by God. Here's the good news. Abel had faith where Cain didn't. Abel had the faith to trust that if he gave God his best, God's going to honor that. Abel believed that if I give God the best I have, God's going to give me the best that he has. He's always made that promise to his people. But Abel's faith didn't remove him from trouble. He was the one that did the right thing, and he's the one that ended up dead. Some read that story and say, "Well, that's not fair. That's just wrong. What's up with that? Shouldn't it have been the other way around?" No, it couldn't have been the other way around, because Abel was a man of faith. Cain wasn't. Abel's actions were premeditated because he believed God. He was a righteous man. He wanted to do what God did. So he couldn't have turned it around and done anything against Cain. But shouldn't Cain be the one who died rather than Abel? Who would have done that? God wasn't going to. Abel certainly wouldn't do that. So it's not even part of the conversation. I think what Cain got was worse. Verse 13, Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. Aw. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." So the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him. Cain's mad at God for punishing him. Cain is saying, "It's your fault. Now look what's going to happen to me the rest of my life. Look what I'm going to have to put up with. And it's your fault, God." No, Cain, it's not. You disobeyed God. You reap what you sow. in relationship to God. I'm sure Cain didn't like the fact that his efforts would be fruitless. I'm sure he didn't care for the fact that he was going to be a wanderer and that he'd never be settled. But I also think that the true reason Cain felt that his punishment was unbearable was because he would be hidden from the Lord's presence. To be away from God's provision, to be away from God's protection, to live a life that's void of the presence of God is unbearable to the one who had the blessing of being in his presence in the first place. And Cain's the one that took himself out of that relationship. Sometimes it doesn't seem as if the righteous are honored for their sacrifices. But they are. Even if no one else notices it, God does. The widow's mite, God noticed. Maybe no one else paid any attention, no one else cared, no one thought that there was any value or any worth to it whatsoever, but God sees those things, and when our faith prevails, despite our tribulations, he honors it. He rewards it. He recognizes who his righteous are. Abel's honored because he gave the ultimate sacrifice for his life. He died for his faith. The Hebrew writer also speaks to this. And others experienced mockings and scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. There are people today who die for their faith, who bring their best to God and they're sacrificed for it. And there are plenty of people out there who are acting in accordance with the spirit of Cain and just giving God the leftovers. And when they go after all the Abels that are out there trying to do what God wants them to do, the Abels are being honored for their sacrifice. We need to learn these lessons from the scriptures. It's important that we read these stories, that we take them off the flannel graph and we put them into our hearts and we know what's going on in these stories. Because they motivate missions and missionaries to live out their faith in response to seeing an Abel who didn't back down. It encourages the person who wants to stand up for right in their classroom when everyone is trying to get them to do wrong. It encourages the coworker who wants to be a person of integrity and do what's right and not try to skimp here or there. It encourages those who are trying to do the right thing, and God recognizes that. And he rewards that. As I mentioned earlier, I think it's interesting that there's not one word from Abel in the Bible, and yet his faith speaks volumes. Faith offered by faith. Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. And God, testifying about his gifts and through his faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. His sacrifice is honored by the legacy of faith that he left for us to see. So question, how much does your faith speak? And what does it say? Where is your faith in how you act towards God? Cain didn't have faith that trusted God. He didn't trust that God would honor only the right sacrifice. His level of faith, the level of faith that Cain had, provided a mistrust of God. Maybe Cain was arrogant. Maybe he thought that the produce that he brought about by his own skill, by his own handiwork, by his own labor, maybe he thought that his skill in farming is what God should be recognizing, and what Cain isn't recognizing is God's role in all that. How much of that sacrifice could Cain have brought if God was not being God? Nothing. Our failure to acknowledge God in giving us the strength and ability to bring about the rain and the sun and everything needed to produce the good harvest will result in God teaching us a lesson. Maybe Cain looked at God as just the taker of what he worked for. Wasn't right. Faith enables us to realize all that. Faith recognizes God's hand in everything. Faith is what allows us to respond appropriately to God's generosity. Cain wanted a relationship with God, but he wanted that relationship on his terms, and he wanted God to accept his terms as for that relationship. And that simply won't work, folks. There's just no way we can do that and expect God to accept it. When we make the rules and when we are expecting God to make compromises, then we're just developing a God of our own making. We're like the Israelites dancing around the golden calf. We'll make our own idol and we'll worship it because that's the one we like. We have faith, but it's not saving faith. It's a dead faith. A faith that doesn't produce right actions is not a right faith. So, it takes faith to, it takes the right faith to make the right sacrifice. And that's what God wants us to do. So wherever your life path takes you, the lesson is to give God what's due him. He will reward that. If there's any way we can help you and encourage you in your faith journey, let us know as we sing this song.